Hallelujah for the blood. I enjoyed the songs that were led this morning, thinking about the wonderful Lord and Savior that is our example. Oh, to be like thee. And we can look to our Lord and Savior for example in how he related to the world around him. And this morning, my mind was drawn to thinking about the way we relate to each other. Now, there's some sermons you feel like preaching, and there's some sermons you probably would rather not preach, and it's probably one of these sermons I'd just rather just be quiet this morning. But I felt a need to preach. Sometimes I don't know why you feel that need, but it's been on my mind all week, thinking about having a proper social reserve as we relate in the world around us. And we know Jesus was a perfect example. We know Jesus was the one that could go out and he could talk to the multitudes. And he was perfect in every way. But we're not perfect. We're human. And we have to deal with that. Turn with me to Proverbs, our theme verse this morning. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says this. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So this morning I would like to, the sermon title is Guarding Our Heart. Guarding our hearts. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Another way to think about keeping our heart is to guard. If we keep something, we guard it. Other translations would say guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellsprings of life. And when you think of guarding something, you think about putting a lot of effort forth because it's important to you. If you guard it, it means you don't want someone to take it from you. I have a little dog, and I've talked about that little dog before, haven't I? But he knows how to guard his bones. If I give him a big steak bone, he will start growling before he gets it, and he grabs that bone and he runs with it, and he's growling the whole time. And don't you take his bone. It's mine. And I do think he would bite if I try to take his bone. He is guarding that bone with his most ferocious bark that he has, even though he's just a little dog. Because it's important to him. It's the most precious thing at the moment. And the proverb writer is saying, men, ladies, mankind, guard your hearts. Because it's the most important thing of your life. It's one of the things that is yours, and it's rightfully yours. It's your heart, your physical heart. You think about your physical heart. Your physical heart is the signs of life. When you go to the doctor, what's the first thing he does? He listens to your heart. He wants to make sure it's beating. And if it's not beating, we got a problem. But as long as your heart is beating, he wants to listen to your heart because your heart tells something about your health. Guard your heart. And this morning we have our spiritual hearts, we have our emotional hearts, and the proverb writer is saying, guard your heart with all diligence. It's not a laughing matter. It's like, really stop and think about it this morning. Guard your heart. Be vigilant, be aware. As I said, I want to think about setting boundaries this morning. And the way we relate to the opposite gender. Now, do I see a need? No, but I want to be proactive. Sunday school lesson ended up with that thought of leaders need to be proactive. And so we don't wait till we have a problem. But we live in a world of so much just open relationships. I think it was after World War II is when up to that point, pretty much there was very distinct roles. The lady stayed at home, was the homemaker. The men went to work. But after World War II, men were out fighting, and the women came out and joined the workforce. And there was a great breakdown in reserve. The women were working side by side with men. And today, we just think it's natural. We don't even think second thoughts about seeing women in the workplace. But it adds a huge level of the way we relate. Because how do you relate men to women, women to men? And what's the safeguards? And how do we go about preserving, guarding our hearts? How do we do that? We live in a world where relationships are often undefined, overly emotional, and without clear boundaries. And so I want to look at that this morning. I want to try to make it practical. I think this is a sermon that could be for the youth. I think it could be for our older singles. I think it could be for newly married. I think it could be for middle-aged. I actually think it's for everyone this morning. Because all of us find ourselves in a different stage of life, but we all need to find ourselves in how we are going to relate to the opposite gender. I believe this morning as I preach, possibly I could be misunderstood, and that's okay, as long as you're thinking. If I just cause you to stop and to think this morning, that's really, I've met my goal. Think about, what kind of safeguards do you have in your life? How are you guarding your heart as you relate to the different people in your life? As we've talked about, oh, to be like thee. Because Jesus was a perfect example. And you think about, as Jesus met the needy people, he did not hesitate to talk to the opposite gender. You take to the woman at the well. Jesus met her at the well. And he had a conversation. He looked her right in the face and he said, what's the problem? What's the needs in your life? But there were some safeguards, I think, that Jesus had in place. They were meeting in a public place. There were people around. There was people that could have probably overheard the discussion. They were not meeting one-on-one in a little closed room. We'll talk about that later. But Jesus was the perfect example. Mary and Martha were some of the, and her brother Lazarus was very, maybe his closest friends. And you know, sometimes we just like to go hang out with our friends. And Jesus, I think, loved to hang out with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And they would sit and they would talk. But I don't think Jesus was just hanging out with one-on-one. They visited as a group. I believe this morning we have to have distinct boundaries in our life. And we need to think about it. We need to place them there. When we grow up, there comes a time in our life where boys, we suddenly realize there are some girls over here. And girls, we suddenly come to a time in our life where we suddenly realize there are some boys over here. We all were there. It's a natural, God-given desire in our life that men, we find the opposite gender attractive. It's a God-given desire. And never pray that that would be taken away. I've had people already that have struggled in their moral life, and they say, I just pray that God would take that desire. But it's a desire that God has given to us, men, to love our wives. It's a God-given desire. Ladies, there's a God-given desire for you to find the opposite gender attractive. And we probably never really publicly say that, do we? When does that stop? When do we get old enough that we find the other gender unattractive? It doesn't stop. So young people, we tend to think that once you get married, that that desire will stop. Once I get a wife, once I get a husband, my desires for the opposite gender will cease. And I'm here to say this morning that that's not how God made us. And so we have the proverb writing, guard your heart. Because men, if we're not careful, we still find the opposite gender attractive. And ladies, you still find there are some good men out there. And they can come take our hearts. Doesn't matter. Well, of course it does. We live in a world that is just, that has just really blended or really has made these relationships of non-effect. We have men and women working together in the workplace, no boundaries, just a loose, we live in a very loose world where anything goes. And so godly people, we have to set boundaries up. We have to guard our heart, or we're going to slip and we're going to fall. If you're still with me at Proverbs, let's read a few more verses. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established. Turn not from the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. This is a wise Solomon writing these words. He's writing these words, and he's saying, pay attention. We know that Solomon had lived his life. Did Solomon take these words to heart? Did Solomon guard his heart? I wish I could say he did. But if you turn with me to 1 Kings, and let's read 1 Kings 11. It tells the story of how Solomon guarded his heart, or his lack of guarding his heart. First Kings chapter 11, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, the women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, you shall go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect before the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonites, and the Malcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. And then Solomon built an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abominations of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done unto thee, that thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. And it goes on. How could a man write, guard your heart? Maybe he understood the dangers that the opposite gender had on his life. We can't understand the way Solomon lived his life. That many wives. But we see how all his wives, the influences in his life, messed with his heart. And it messed up his whole life. Turn with me to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our heart messes with us. Because I like to think, in the physical sense, my heart is really healthy. There's nothing wrong with my heart. I got up this morning, I feel good, I'm going about my work. But what I don't know is, my heart is deceitful. And I could have a heart disease. And until I seriously try to figure out my heart condition, I won't know it. And that's the way it is with our spiritual hearts and our emotional hearts. We have to be very, very careful, or our hearts become emotionally warped. Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spread out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. This morning, if we're going to have a heart that is righteous, we're going to need the Lord's help. I don't know my heart. I think I do, but I need the Lord to guide me. We need the Lord this morning. Philippians 4, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. Again, without the Lord's help, we're lost. We're not going to get it right. But when we have the Lord, he's going to guide us. He keeps our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. I would like to look at some practical ways that we can... We just looked at some scriptural guidelines, why we need to set guides in my life. And now I'd like to look at some practical, healthy boundaries that we can put in place as we think about relating to the opposite gender. We could call it having a social reserve. How the youth can relate to other youth. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to relate back and forth. As married men, how do we relate to the married women? Married women to married men, and vice versa. How do we do that? Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. We need to set boundaries. We need to look ahead and say, wait a minute, this could be a problem. When we think about our jobs, brother, what kind of safeguards do we have in place? I had a customer that, she was an old retired customer, a repeat customer that I worked with for many years. And there was came one day, she wanted me to work down the street at her son's house. And she said, jump in the car with me. I'll take you down and I'll show you the job. Should I or should I not jump in the car with another woman? What would you do? I had another customer that was another retired lady, very dynamic lady, and we were redoing her entire house. And when you redo people's houses, you're in their houses. And you learn to know them real well. We were redoing her bathroom, and she really, really liked. I had a towel installer. It was a German Baptist towel installer, and he was very meticulous, and she just really, really liked his work. And when the day came when he was finished, she gave him a hug. She told me this. She said, I gave him a hug, and she said, I felt him stiffen. And she said, uh-oh, I crossed a boundary. I said, yes, you did. He was a married man. He knew he was a married man. He was not expecting to get a hug from any other woman. What kind of boundaries, men, do we have in your life? And what's the safeguards when you find yourself in a compromising situation? I had another lady that told me, she said, when you guys get done, she just really liked what I'm doing, what we did for her. She said, I'm going to give you all a big hug. So was I just waiting for the day to get a hug? And I really don't remember. I don't remember if she tried to give a hug or not. I don't remember that. I just remember she said she was going to give us all a hug. That's the world we live in. Where there is no, a lady hugs a man and a man will hug a lady. And where is the social boundaries? What's the safeguards that you have put into your place? 1 Corinthians 6, 18 says, flee fornication. Flee. It doesn't mean sit there and to think about it and to think about if I get a hug and what kind of lady this would be. No. It says flee. Get it out of your system. Get it out of your mind. Don't sit there and play that thing through your mind. Flee it. Get away from it. And ladies, I think it can be just as practical for you too. This is both ways. We live in a world where women want attention. We live in a world where men want attention. And they vie for each other's attention. Talking about an ungodly world. And there's times in our life where we have to realize that there's a relationship being formed and we flee. We get away from it. Can't help but think about Joseph, right? Joseph and Potiphar. How Potiphar's wife was secretly admiring. Potiphar's wife. She had a husband. She had a man in her life. But she saw a handsome young man. And it went through her mind. And she thought about that young man. And she thought about his looks. And he was handsome. And he was the man. And scripture says she laid eyes on him. And she began to think about how fun it would be to have a relationship with that man. That's the world we live in. That is still happening today, where men and ladies desire each other's companies. And men, ladies, what are we doing to stop it? What did Joseph do? He fled, right? He didn't flirt with temptation. He fled. He got out of there. We're talking about setting healthy boundaries. We're still looking at some scriptural principles. Then we'll look at some practical ones. What did David and Bathsheba? And I know that, see, there's only a small step between social breakdown and moral decline. As long as we have a healthy social reserve, and it's wonderful when men we can relate to the women and women we can relate to the men. I'm not talking about where we sit there and ignore each other, but there needs to be a reserve. We have boundaries that cannot be crossed. Married women, married men. David was a married man. He had no right to Bathsheba. We know that. But what about Bathsheba? Why was she up there bathing in broad daylight? Was it by chance that she was desiring attention from her man and wasn't getting it? And possibly she knew that David, every day at about 3 o'clock, would go out on his rooftop and look around. Scripture don't say that. But I think that Bathsheba has something to play in that story. She led David on, and David fell. Men were very, very vulnerable to women's attention. And when a woman begins to play on our emotional state, we are very, very weak. And we can fall. And we have to be very, very careful. Guard your heart. Put all fours down like my dog and growl and say, "No, you're not. It's my heart. I reserved it for my wife. There's no other woman going to take my attention." Guard your heart. Either side of the house. 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2 says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity." And I like that. As we relate to the opposite gender, it's saying, men, treat women with respect. Treat them as your own sister. In the Greek word, it talks about is blood relation. Treat them as your somebody you care about. We care about our family. Treat them as a sister with all purity. Put some safeguards in place. In 1948, Billy Graham was in the middle of his preaching campaigns, and he had a lot of going around preaching. And he called a group of evangelists together of the then renowned people. And he said, "Let's get together and talk about what are the dangers that we as leaders face when relating to the people. They got together, he dismissed them to the rooms, and they all came back. And they put together what they call, it was in Modesto, California. So they call this paper the Modesto Manifesto. It's kind of catchy. I thought about using that as the title for my sermon, the Modesto Manifesto. But they wrote down four things. Safeguards to put in place as we relate to our church family, as we relate to the people that we are counseling. Number one was financial, guarding against financial abuse. As they got their money, that they would use it in a righteous way. But the one that I wanted was number two, was guarding against sexual sins. And they said, we will never meet with the opposite gender, with ladies. We will never counsel ladies one-on-one. There will always be another person present, at least three. Never one-on-one. And that is a tremendous guideline that as men today, that we never meet the opposite gender one-on-one. Matthew 10:16 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. So Christ calls us to be very, very wise. And so this becomes practical for me. How do I go out and meet my customer when there's just one lady present? Some of you don't have to deal with that. Some of you... but it's real for me. How do I treat my customer with respect when there's just one lady there? I had one job that a lady called me out, and she wanted to put on a really nice addition. And I really liked the job. But she was recently divorced and had a daughter, and I just didn't feel comfortable. I don't know how I'm going to do this job with just relating to a divorced woman. And so I left the job go. But there, each one of us have to make practical applications. How are we going to live out Christ's teaching of keeping ourselves pure, guarding our hearts? I want to look at some safeguards that we need to put into place in our lives. And we could think about safeguards versus inconvenience, because there's times in our life where it's an inconvenience. Everybody else is doing it. What about going out one-on-one? What about, men, if you have a place of business and there's a sales lady who wants to take you out for lunch for a presentation? Would you do it? Would you go out one-on-one and sit at a table? Let's just go out here to Cracker Barrel and sit down. And the lady wants to treat you to lunch and show you her wares. I trust you would say no. I don't want to be seen sitting at another table with another man's wife. And I trust you ladies you'd say, well, I would never do that. But what about if you take the neighbor man, Tuesday's donut day, so you put together a dozen donuts for your neighbors, and you take it down to the old neighbor man, and your husband went off to work, and you're just taking donuts to the neighbors, and you decide to go in and sit down and visit for a while. Is it okay to go into another man's house without your husband and to have a nice discussion? Maybe to tell him about your church service. And I say, no. I don't care if it is a spiritual discussion. Ladies, we don't put ourselves into a compromising position. We guard our hearts. We don't go into another man's house. We don't do one-on-one. Now, it's one thing if my wife and I decide to take the neighbor's donuts and we go visit for an hour. But for my wife to go visit one-on-one to the neighbor man is no. The same way I wouldn't go visit the neighbor lady one-on-one. We don't do that. We need to think through. God has given us minds to think. We don't put ourselves into a compromising way. We treat women with respect. We live in a world where people say women are trash, but women aren't trash. We treat women with respect. We treat women as the weaker gender. That is scriptural. We live in a world where people try to elevate everyone on the same line, where there is a distinct difference. But we treat women with respect. And that simply means it is okay to hold the door open You go into Sheets, and there's a lady coming. Step back. I don't care who she is. And you let the ladies go first. I'll never forget. I had walked out of Arby's, I believe. This was years ago. I walked out, and I left the door just go shut behind me. I didn't look behind me. And there was a lady following me out. And I left the door go shut on her face. And she cussed me out. She yelled at me and cussed, and she called me every name. And I was like, you know, that was terrible. That was terrible because I need to show respect. That's okay. I should have held the door open. Men, we do show respect. We do shake hands when it's appropriate, but we don't go out of our way to shake hands. I have a bunch of practical points I wrote down. If we need to meet together alone, we keep the door open in a lit room. Basically, we don't. But if necessity, if for some reason, men, women, we have to have meet the opposite gender, we do so in a public way where people can see what's happening. I think about that with doctor visits. I think about that with our chiropractors. My wife uses a chiropractor. She goes, gets a treatment from a man doctor. But I went there first. And I know who the man is. And I know that there's a husband and wife team there. I know that the door to his office is wide open. I know that his wife walks back anytime she wants. And it's an open environment. And I feel okay with that. But if you find yourself going to see a doctor, a chiropractor, some kind of medical treatment, the door's closed and it's one-on-one, beware. I'm talking about opposite gender. Men, it's one thing to be meeting with a man doctor, ladies with a lady doctor, close the door, have a consultation. But when it's opposite genders, we need to put some safeguards in place. We don't travel together. We don't travel together. It would seem strange, wouldn't it, that one of you ladies, I would come pick one of you ladies up and we would go to Winchester Church. You would say, that's ridiculous. And it is. The men of this world do that all the time. They'll just pick up several people. If there's going to be opposite gender, young man, if you're taking some girls to chorus, not one-on-one. But you have several, or two boys. You have more people in your car than just the two of you. Is it okay if I go to the local restaurant every morning that the waitress will call me by name and she says, do you want the standard egg omelet? See, I'm building relationships. And when I begin to build relationships other than my wife, it can become wrong. There's a relationship being built that she knows that I'm coming for breakfast. She knows what my favorite breakfast is. And I say, that should not happen. Young ladies, don't flirt with the opposite gender. Allow the Christ-like spirit to come out of your heart, out of your life. Don't flirt. Boys, don't play with your young lady's emotional state. A healthy social reserve. It's okay to relate to each other, but we don't flirt back and forth. We don't egg each other on. Young men, when you went out to eat, and the waitress is really good looking, and she did a really good job, is it okay to lay a $100 bill down for a tip? I hear that being done sometimes, where young people go out and they say, we really wanted to impress the waitress, and so we laid a big tip. And what you're doing is you're playing with someone's emotions, and you're saying, I really, really like you. You need to leave a tip. You do, but leave an appropriate amount that's not trying to make a statement. Dress modestly, both sides of the house. Keep your hands to yourself. My hands do not belong on any other person. than there are in a marriage relationship, a husband and wife. It's not appropriate for me to hug, to touch another woman. Do not be calling each other on a one-on-one. Young people, keep your communications open and above board. We don't call each other and chat on a personal level. Only, again, husband and wife. Sometimes I hear this happening, where, you know, close friends and you call and they chat. That should not be happening. Be discreet. Remember that we need to put hedges, safeguards into place for our own spiritual well-being. Safeguards. And yes, they're an inconvenience. It'd be so easy just to do it the way the world does. It's more inconvenient. But even though we inconvenience ourselves, it's guarding my heart. It's guarding my heart. It's because I care about my heart. I care about my family. And so I keep my heart pure for the sake of my family, for my church family, brothers and sisters. That was physical boundaries. We have emotional boundaries that we need to be careful about. Our emotional boundaries. Avoid deep emotional sharing with someone you are not married to. Avoid it. Because as we share our emotional journey with other people, we begin to build a relationship. I've seen this happen, where a young lady can actually begin to spill into a young man's life her emotional journey that she's on. And that does something to us men, because we care, we want to do something, we want to fix the problem. And there begins to build a relationship. There's emotional boundaries that cannot be broken. Digital boundaries. We're still thinking about boundaries. We have digital boundaries. That we live in a world where text messaging, social media, where we can communicate with the other gender, and it's so easy. We just send a text. Young people, young marrieds, middle-aged, wherever you find yourselves, we do not communicate on a personal level. It's one thing if I say, Brother Austin, what's the assignments for tomorrow morning? Because I do not know. But it's another thing to say, I was going to call name, but sister, how was your day? How was your evening last night? And right away, I'm crossing a boundary. There's an emotional boundary. I am not allowed to text privately. It's one thing if I was in a group setting with my wife and we were discussing what we're doing. But one-on-one saying, how was your day? There's time boundaries. Thinking about each of us have our lives. And we don't want to infringe upon the time, each other's time. I'm skipping across a few things, but let's just think a little bit of what we're talking about, some emotional attachments. We need to guard against emotional attachments, where we just cling. I'm not outside of the marriage relationship. Marriage is so wonderful because we can find emotional fulfillment. But until then, we need to guard against emotional attachments. In Jeremiah 17, verse 5, it says, Thus saith the Lord, Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. The Lord is the one that gives us our spiritual strengths, our emotional strengths. But sometimes we want to find that emotional stability in other people. And this verse says, Cursed be the man that trusteth in man or lady. Guard against that. Matthew 22:37 says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Our deepest emotional attachment should be to the Lord Jesus Christ, not another person or a personal counselor. The Lord should be our personal counselor. There's times in our life where we need counseling. But depending upon a certain individual to see me through, there's some downfalls there. We need to guard my speech and conversation. Still thinking about guarding our heart. And so we guard our speech. We guard the way what we say to each other. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And so it's wonderful to have godly speech one to another. But we live in a world where that is not true. And men use their speech to seduce the opposite gender. Avoid flirtatious talk or suggestive comments. We talked about that. And my last point is pray for much wisdom. It's a real battle. It's one we don't talk about. One that we're finding our way in your business life as you relate to the opposite gender. It might be customers that you're dealing with one-on-one. Whatever you find your life situation, pray for wisdom and strength in your relationships. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's James 5. God has promised that if you don't know, seek him out. Pray about it. Colossians 4, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Psalm 37 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so we need the Lord to guide us in our relationships, in our social relationships, as we relate one to another. Guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart. Watch it. Keep your heart. Because it's the only thing you can claim for yourself and take it with you to eternity. Is a pure heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. God give you much wisdom as we find our way in our relationships. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.